بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al Imran, Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot reach the... You cannot reach the level of birr, level of piety, level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you spend in the path of Allah that which you love the most. So it is not a question of simply giving some charity. It is to pick something which you really like, which is close to you, which you love, and to give that in the path of Allah. Now we know the story of, there are many stories associated with this ayah. One of the most famous ones is the story of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu had a date garden, a date orchard. And it was a very beautiful date orchard. It was fully mature. It was very valuable as a piece of real estate. It had a well of sweet water in it. It had a fence all around. There is a famous story of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where one day Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not to be seen anywhere. So the Sahaba got very worried. They said, where has he gone? They searched here and there, everywhere. They couldn't find him. So then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who used to be with him all the time, he remembered this garden of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like to go and sit inside this garden because it was very cool. And I remember, I don't know how many of you have you ever been inside a date palm garden, date orchard in Medina. I was in Medina once, and I was going from Medina to Makkah, and my friend was, he said, we'll take the old road which goes past Badr, not the main highway, not the Makkah highway. So we were going on this road, and we came to this, we passed this place where there was this date orchard. So I told him, let's stop, let's go inside and see. Believe me, this was a summer afternoon. It was hot like hell. I mean, it was the desert. It was so hot, unbelievably hot. But when we went inside this date garden, it was like being in an air-conditioned house. It was thick. It was dark inside. The shade was so thick. And because of the water and because of the trees, it was so cool and beautiful. And I remember this hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, you know, he used to go and sit there and it was so cool. When you read the hadith, sometimes you feel, you know, yeah, okay, we believe the hadith, we don't doubt. But how is it possible? You know, in the middle of this Arabian desert, the place is cool. That's why you must go and see these places. When you travel somewhere, just go and stop and nobody takes you. You have to go and ask. It's really, when you see these places, the reality of the hadith, alhamdulillah, just comes into the heart. So I saw this, I heard this, and I experienced as a subhanAllah, beautiful. And the story is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disappeared. They couldn't find him. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he remembered. So he went there and he found this date orchard of Abu Talha al-Ansari. It was not only a very thick one, it had a huge fence all around, completely secure. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu could not even go inside. He couldn't find the gate, or the gate was locked or something. So what he did was that there was a water channel, there was a stream of water that was flowing through this, and it came out from one place which was like a drain almost. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu crawled through this drain into this garden. And there he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting on the parapet of the well. So he was very happy. Alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is safe. And he said, salam, he said, ya, salam alaikum ya Rasulullah, we were so worried and we were so concerned for you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and tell the people that anyone who said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah will forgive him. He gave him this beautiful bashara. He said, go and tell the people, whoever said La ilaha illallah, Allah will forgive him, give him Jannah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu heard this. And he said, ya Rasulullah, who will believe me if I tell them this? Nobody will. So give me a sign. Give me a sign that I am coming from you. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed to his shoes. He used to wear, he wear different shoes, but he used to also wear wooden shoes. You know, I don't know how many Pakistan mein kya bolte hain, khada maan bolte hain usko. Urdu mein hai. To lakdi ka hota hai, usme ek, jaise mekh hoti hai, usme yahan pe lagta hai. So we had this wooden shoes with a peg. So the peg would be between these two toes. We call this khadawa because we used to, for the masjid, we would wear it and, you know, you make wudu and it gets wet and there's no problem. So he was wearing those. So he said, you take this. So Abu Hurairah, now he's, imagine his situation. He is getting this bashara of Jannah from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How happy he must be. So he takes these shoes, he puts them on his head and he crawls back out from this and he's going to the market of Madinah and he's shouting, anybody who says, La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him Jannah. On the way, as he is going there, who does he meet? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Umar stopped him. So he said, what are you saying? So he said, I just came from Isa Salam. And he said that anybody who said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Allah will give him Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he hit him on his chest with his hand like this. He said, he slammed him. Now Sayyidina Umar was a wrestler. He was a professional wrestler. He was a very big man. He was very strong. And Abu Hurairah was a slim person. When Sayyidina Umar hit him, Abu Hurairah fell down. And he started crying. So he, and Sayyidina Umar didn't leave him. Sayyidina Umar said, you come with me. I'll take you to Nabi. Show me. You're saying this about that the Rasulullah said this. You come with me. So now he takes him. They go back to the same place. And Abu Hurairah is crying. He's carrying the shoes of Nabi. And Sayyidina Umar says, Ya Rasulullah, did you say this? Nabi said, yes. Sayyidina Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, if you tell the people this thing, they will stop doing everything. They will not do any good work, they will not pray, they won't do anything. They say, khalas, I've said, la ilaha illallah, I got jannah. No, no. So don't say this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, don't say it. Now, alhamdulillah, this is bashara for us, that we should continue to do the work. And also it is bashara for the fact that even though Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he corrected Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in a very hard way, right, very harsh way, there's no need to hit him and whatnot. But alhamdulillah, Rasulullah did not reprimand him. He did not say, why did you do that? So there is a hikmah in what the Sahaba do and what especially the Khulafa Rashida. That's why we respect them and we accept their action. We do not criticize the action. We don't say that Sayyidina Umar should not have done so on and so on. I'm just saying this to illustrate and show different aspects of the story. We are not criticizing Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Anyway, to come back to the reason I said all this, is this hadith on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where not hadith, this ayat on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of Surah Al Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Abu Talha Al Ansari came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the papers of this garden. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this in charity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why? He said, because Allah has revealed this. And this garden is very dear to me, so I want to give this. Now the point I want to make for myself and you, and I said this today in Jummah also, is see how real Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was for these people. See how real the kalam of Allah was for these people. See how it was not just a matter of reciting something. This was real. Allah is speaking to me. Allah is telling me. That was the way they saw it. Allah is telling me. Right? Now, you might say, well, okay, this is good. I also believe. Now, what must I do? See, the way to understand this ayat is not just a matter of donating property or donating money or donating land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? Until you spend in the path of Allah what is dear to you. Now, I may have a lot of property, I may have a lot of money, and it's not dear to me. There are people I know for whom they are not attached to the dunya. Then they are not attached to the money. They will give you money, any amount of money. Just ask them, they will give it to you. They are not attached to that. But, for example, time. You ask them, can you give me 1 hour of your time? He doesn't have time. You want money? Take the money. Time I don't have. Come in the path of Allah for one day, one hour. No. Don't ask me. So, for that person, donating that time is the thing which is dearer to him. For some other people, for example, sleep. Especially in the late part of the night, especially early morning sleep, is very sweet. So, tahajjud, forget about tahajjud. Who is that? Salatul Fajr, okay, maybe one day if I wake up, if I don't wake up, khalas, that is also not there. Now, for such people to wake up in the morning for tahajjud, stay awake and pray Salatul Fajr, right? Or maybe they sleep but they come back, wake up again and they play Salatul Fajr. This is like donating in the path of Allah something which is dearest to them. For some other people, it might be the ego. No, I am somebody. Oh, I am this great sheikh, or I am this great ustad, or I am this great rais or something. And, you know, people must respect me, whatnot, whatnot. And then somebody says something to you, you get very angry. Oh. Now, for such people, to control their ego, to control their self, that this is like donating in the path of Allah. So, for them, for such people, like, some other thing, sleep, he might be, okay, fine, I can wake up, and, you know, 1 o'clock in the night, 2 o'clock, no problem. Sleep is not his issue. His issue is something else. For some other people, for example, watching sports or playing sports or, you know, what. Now, I'm not saying haram things. I mean, obviously, we are not talking about haram. You might say, well, you know, what's wrong with? Nothing is wrong with sport. We are just saying what is dearest to you. So, imagine you're watching this Super Bowl or something, right? And this is like the absolutely critical thing. And at that time, the adhan goes off. Now, do I get up and pray? Or do I say, no, hold on, just let this finish? Which one? Yeah. You know? But that's difficult for somebody who's that dedicated. I mean, there are people I know who are so dedicated to the game, they will stay up all night. You tell him to do etika for one, he can't stay up all night to pray. For Salat, for Qiyam, he can't stay up. But to watch Super Bowl, no problem. The whole night he will be up. But for such people to leave that and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is it. So my submission to you is to remind myself and you, let us think about what is dearest to me and then let us spend that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this niyat and asking this dua to say, Ya Allah, please bring me close to you because I am doing this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that and to bring you close to them, to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and to build that strong connection with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.